Let me again bid you welcome, express appreciation for your being here. We say it so often, but we say it sincerely. It's just good, good to get together. Watching my granddaughters a few moments ago into class, and the youngest one starts running back to the classroom. I thought to myself, well, I wish I could get adults to run to Bible class. Of course, then he goes, hey, my doctor told me not to run.
It's a fall risk.
There is an outline in the back of the bulletin this morning. If you'd like to follow along with the lesson, I ask my brethren to many times look around. If you see someone without one, please share. You're very welcome to go get an outline down in the bulletin in the foyer. As Rick mentioned, we're going to look at the lesson on five tests of Job's faith. I know we've always heard the New Testament phrase, the patience of Job. Well, because of the tests of the faith that he had to experience. When I think about tests of faith or hardships or troublesome times, I always think that you and I are either going into troublesome times, or we're in them already, or we're just getting through some troublesome times. But Job experienced all five of these. You may experience one or more. I suppose if we had a choice of one of these tests, we'd take number one, the test of prosperity. Yeah, trust me with that. That would be good. But we're going to take a look at each of these. You know, the book of Job is a long story, 42 chapters. And it's about how God shows us that the best life, meaning the life that's approved by God, is a life that gives God first place no matter what happens to us. Whatever the test, the troublesome times, or the hardships, Job is an example for us today that we need to maintain faith no matter what happens. In the midst of trials, in our example today, Job maintains faithfulness to God, and he always gives God the honor in every situation. Number one, we mentioned the test of prosperity. Job was an extremely wealthy man. He was rich. Now, put these in your notes for you. But rich spiritually, chapter 1, verse 1. The man was blameless. He was upright, feared God, shunned evil. That's an impressive resume. Job was rich with children. He had 7 sons, 3 daughters that were born to him. He was rich in substance. Possessions were 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, 500 yoke of oxen, 500 female donkeys. Rich in servants. Had a large household. He was rich in the land. Chapter 1, verse 3, so that this man was the greatest of all the people of the East. That prosperity, I think, would bring about a test of faith. Job remains faithful. Sometimes when people of wealth, they say, I don't need God. I can handle this all by myself. I'm doing fine. Thank you, God. I have all this treasure. I have this abundance. Things are going so good. Thanks, but no thanks, God. I can make it all by myself. But that was a test of Job's faith. In verse 5, it said he would rise early in the morning, offer burnt offerings. And thus Job did regularly. Wow. Prosperity? Yeah. What are you going to do with all your prosperity, Job? I'm going to get up early and offer burnt offerings. And I'm going to do it on a regular basis. Prosperity is going to test our faith. Yeah. It will. Paul said it this way in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 6. He said, godliness and contentment is great gain. We brought nothing into the world. Yeah. Certainly we can carry nothing out. Though having food and clothing, With these, let's be content.
And then he says, oh, but those who are rich, they fall in temptations and snares. Oh, the test of prosperity. They fall into foolish and harmful lusts. That prosperity can drown you in destruction. Paul continues, he says, oh, the love of treasure, the love of money, that's the root of all kinds of evil. Oh, the test of prosperity. Some have strayed from the faith because of their greediness. Oh, the test of prosperity? Solomon said, and I didn't put this one in your notes, but in Proverbs chapter 30, verse 7, Solomon said, two things I request of you, referring to God. God, I have two requests in this text. Deprive me not of these before I die. First one says, remove falsehood and lies far from me. All right. Two requests. The second one, give me neither poverty nor riches. Just feed me with the food allotted to me, lest I be full and deny you and say, who's the Lord? Well, I'm doing fine by myself. Or lest I be poor and steal and profane the name of my God. Oh, the test of prosperity. And Job passed it. Second, we have the opposite. The test of poverty. Job passed the first one. So Satan now throws the opposite at him. When Job experiences all of these disasters, there's always a servant that's left in the midst of the disaster to deliver the news to Job about what's happened. Job loses his substance in chapter 1, verse 13. The servant comes to Job. Says, Job, the oxen, the donkeys have been stolen. Fire fell from heaven, burned up the sheep and the servants. The Chaldeans raided the camels and took them away and killed the servants. Uh-oh. What am I going to do? That was my substance. That was my treasure on earth. But then not only that, he loses his children. Verse 18, chapter 1. Servant comes to Job. Job, your sons and daughters were in the house when a great wind came and destroyed the house. They died in the destruction. Oh my. Something happened to my sons or daughters-in-law or grandkids. And I want to go outside and look up and say, what, God, what were you thinking? I'm on your side. Talk about a test. You take away my substance? You take away family? That's a test of faith. These were benefits and blessings to me. Take that away. Then he loses his health. Oh, man, not my health. You're taking substance? You're taking family? Take my health. Chapter 2, verse 4. Job was struck with painful boils from the sole of his foot to the crown of his head. Why? And even with the test of these losses, Job remains faithful. Job, how do you do that? That's a test of your faith. In chapter 1, verse 20, says, then Job arose, tore his robe, shaved his head, fell to the ground, and worshiped. Job, aren't you going to plead your cause? Falls down and worships. He said, oh, what an attitude. The Lord gave, he sure did. The Lord's given to you, Job. Look at all you have. Your prosperity. Then it says the Lord's taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. In all of this, the next phrase, in all of this, Job did not sin nor charge God with wrong. Well, there's a test. In chapter 2, verse 10, in all this, Job did not sin with his lips. Job went from rich and famous to poor and shunned. And he remains faithful. What are you going to do when troubles come your way? What are you going to do when you have hardship? Things don't go the way you think they should. What are you going to do? Bail out? You quit church? Quit assembly? Give up on Christianity? What are you going to do when you have hardships? Our losses or prize, the loss of prized possessions is going to test us. Jesus said it this way, an attitude of how we look at our possessions. He talks about, oh, the treasures of earth. Oh, there's value in treasure. I need treasure. I need to provide for family, retirement, or whatever, and to give to those in need. I need possessions. But Jesus says, you know what those possessions are subject to? In Matthew chapter 6, 19, they're subject to moth, rust. Boy, I've experienced that. Thieves, experience that. Then I'll add to the list, your possessions are also subject to be lost, broken. I've dropped a few prized possessions. Stored in a box out in the garage and can't remember where I put them. Yeah. A lot of things can happen to possessions. Jesus said in Luke chapter 4, verse 15, take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consists not in the abundance of the things that he possesses. My possessions are not my life. I hope my possessions don't define me. And if I lost them all, I still want to maintain my faith. If my house burned down, lost possessions, but I don't want to lose faith. Number three that in Job's life is the test of persecution. Now, persecution from any source is troublesome. I can amen that. Doesn't matter where it comes from. If somebody's hurting me or situations are hurting me, I'm thinking, oh my, it doesn't matter. But when persecution comes from those closest to us, oh my, that's what Job's experiencing. That seemed a little bit worse. A little more hurtful. That's that old expression, oh, the knife went in and then they twist it. I remember as a child when I was sitting next to my mom, and if I'd misbehave, mom would reach over and pinch me. Then she'd twist it. That's the devil. I mean, the twist is enough persecution. Or just that pinch. But when you pinch and twist, oh, that's worse. Well, those who should have helped Job bear his burdens, they made his burden heavier. First of all, it's his wife. The one who should have been a source of strength adds to his torment. It's in Job 2, verse 9. His wife said to him, do you still hold fast your integrity? Now, Job, look at everything you just lost, the hardship. You had prosperity, now you have poverty. Oh, Job. Then the next phrase, she says, you should just curse God and die. Oh, but then he said to her, what are you going to say, Job? He said, you speak as one of the foolish women speaks. Shall we indeed accept good from God? And shall we not accept adversity? Oh, yeah. When God is good, then count me in, God. I'm on your side. Thank you for blessings all of us. Thank you, God. Oh, I'm a blessed person. Well, but what if when adversity comes? I'm giving up on you. Well, really? It's not what Job said. If I accept good from God, I'm going to accept adversity in life. In all of this, the familiar phrase, Job did not sin with his lips. And your wife tests you. Wow. His friends are next. Chapter 2, verse 11. Y'all, what are you going to do now that you had all this hardship and troublesome times? Chapter 2, verse 11. When Job's three friends heard of all this adversity that had come upon him, then he names the three friends, Eliphaz, Bildad, and Zophar. They came to mourn and comfort him. Oh, thank you. Oh, friends, you're on my side. Gather close, friends, and they were there. They wept. They sprinkled dust on their heads. They sat down with Job for 7 days and nights. No one spoke a word to him because they saw that his grief was very great. So now the friends come. Job, let's get close. We're not going to say a word. Your grief is horrible. You're a sad situation. But then their mourning and their silence didn't last. So Eliphaz, in chapter 4, verse 7, after this week of butting up and elbow to elbow and weeping and don't say a word, let's just sit quietly in your grief. Chapter 4, verse 7, Eliphaz says, Job, you suffer greatly because you're guilty of something. You must have done something wrong. And then he says, you're now reaping what you sowed. So then the second friend, Bildad, in chapter 8, verse 3, says, if you were pure and upright, you would still be wealthy. Well, thank you. Then Zophar, chapter 11, verse 1, in all your losses, you've experienced less than what you should be getting. In other words, you deserve more hardship, Job. Boy, friends like that? I don't need an enemy. Ah, my goodness. So Job answers. It's in chapter 19. Job says to them, how long will you torment my soul? You came here to help me. Give me consolation. Sat down beside me. Cried with me. And now you're going to torment me? In verse 22, the same chapter 19, why do you persecute me? In verse 25, he says, but I know that my Redeemer lives. Oh, Job. Yeah, he answered their accusations, but my faith. What are you going to do when your wife says, just go ahead and curse God and die? Or your friends say, you must have been really bad, Job. Yeah. No, I know that my Redeemer lives. Number 4 is a test of perplexity. This one's an attitude of why me? Why me? God, I'm on your side. Job could have said that. Remember the introduction? He was blameless. He was on God's side, continued to stay on God's side. Rose up early and made the burnt offerings. Yep. He could have maybe complained to God. Shouldn't I be getting better treatment? You know, it's one thing to maintain faith when everything makes sense. But it's quite another when seemingly nothing makes sense and you stay on God's side. That's your test of faith. I don't understand why I'm going through this. I don't get it, God. I'm giving you my best. Don't we have to reason things out like that? Doesn't make sense that I have all this hardship or troublesome times. But Job's attitude was he doesn't lose faith. Didn't know why he had so many troubles, but in Job 13, verse 15, he says, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. Really? Test of faith. I don't understand why I'm going through what I'm going through. I see a lot of the wicked people prospering. I don't see them suffering the hardship that I do, and God, I'm on your side. Job says, even if he slays me, yet will I trust him. The last one, the test of power, final test. See, at the end, remember it's a long book, 42 chapters, but at the very end, Job is vindicated in the presence of his friends. So now Job's friends have need of forgiveness after the 42 chapters have been told. And in chapter 42, verse 7, and so it was, after the Lord has spoken these words to Job, given him encouragement, the Lord said to Eliphaz, remember that was one of his friends that came and stayed for a week and gave him all the comfort and then changed their mind and said, you must really be bad, Job. But the Lord spoke to Job, gave him encouragement, and then the Lord spoke to Eliphaz. The Lord said to him, my wrath is aroused against you and your two friends. You've not spoken of me, meaning God. You haven't spoken of me what is right, God said to him. As my servant Job has. Job maintained his faith. Verse 8. Now therefore, God's still talking to these friends. Take for yourselves 7 bulls and 7 rams. Go to my servant Job. Offer up for yourselves a burnt offering. And my servant Job shall pray for you. Is that what you're going to do, Job? Oh, here's your chance to get back at him. Oh, Job, there's a test of faith. Don't you want to get even? Don't you want to take some revenge for all the things they said? They turned their back on you. Three trusted friends, and now they don't support you. Oh, Job, what are you going to do? But God said to these three friends, go to Job. Offer a sacrifice. Job will pray for you. I will accept him. Otherwise, I'll deal with you according to your folly, God said to them. Because, and God says to these three boys again, you've not spoken of me what is right. As my servant Job has. Oh, Job, that's the faith. In verse 9, so what's going to happen? So Eliphaz and Bildad and Zophar went and did as the Lord commanded them. For the Lord had accepted Job. And then verse 10, the Lord restored Job's losses when he prayed for his friends. Indeed, the Lord gave Job twice as much as he had before. Remember, it's one thing. We haven't experienced trouble sometimes already. We will. Or we're in the midst of them. Or we've finished with them. You know, in that 23rd Psalm, that song we sang this morning, yea, though I go through the valley, shadow, death. That's pretty bad. The life of valleys, shadows, and death. But I'm going to go through it. I'm not going to fear any evil. Why? Because thou art with me. You're with me all the way. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. The value of God's word, the treasure of God's message in our life. We get through it. In verse 12 of chapter 42, the last chapter, the Lord blessed the latter days of Job more than his beginning. In verse 16, after this, Job lived 140 years. He saw his children and grandchildren for 4 generations. And then Job died. Old and full of days. It's the test of your faith. Your faith will be tested in one or more of these ways. Job's faith was tested in all 5 ways. I want you to pass the test. Give you encouraging words. I want to give you hope of eternal life. I want to give you hope
that the Lord is with you all the way. That was his last message. And now the first test of your faith is this, that you become a Christian and obey the gospel. That's where it begins. Jesus' last words, and we always think last words of a person are important. And Jesus said it this way in Matthew 28, closing verses, all authority has been given unto me in heaven and on earth. He has all authority. Just go therefore and preach the gospel or make disciples, some translations use, make disciples of all the nations. How? Baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. He's with us as we go through troublesome times, hardships, discouragements. Mark records it in Mark chapter 16, verses 15 and 16. Go to all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved. That's the invitation we extend to you. You're subject to it if you've not obeyed the gospel already. That's the first step. Become a Christian. Exercise your faith. Obey. As Dennis said in his invitation, some three tremendous words. Trust. Yeah. And obey. And obey. Dennis, start making your way to the front, if you would, please. Let's stand and we'll station song. Let's sing this song, and if you need to respond in a public way, please do so while we're singing this song or at the close of the song.